that this is a seminar, which of course, if we were meeting in our usual way, this is unusual, but it seems to be becoming the norm. If we were meeting physically, we would have had some time of PowerPoint display of what I'm talking about, and also interaction in terms of questions and answers at the end of my presentation. Nonetheless, the form that I will take may appear to be in a very preaching or teaching manner, and that is fine. Understanding that we have quite a large audience, not only within our country, but around the world, that is joining us virtually. My name is, as indicated, Saidi Francis Chishimba. I'm the pastor at Evangel Baptist Church, and it is quite a glorious blessing that the Lord has called me to gospel ministry as a preacher of His Word. The topic that I am handling this moment is the home and the digital or virtual era, taking some moment to have a pastoral insight and looking at it from the scriptures, and primarily from Ephesians chapter 5. I still remember when I was a very young boy, not so young though, but I was probably in my teenage or less, when my father just returned from abroad. He had been to one of the European countries. When he came back home, he was telling us about a new technology that will soon land in Africa. And he was talking about the cell phone. It sounded extremely foreign and strange when he indicated to us what the cell phone is or will be. And so as young boys and girls with my brothers and sisters, we sat around him and just enjoyed the conversation of the unimaginable. We just couldn't figure out what this cell phone will be like. And he told us things like it will be a gadget that you can hold in your hands and talk to somebody on the other side of town. I mean, it was unthinkable. We couldn't think of how that communication will happen. Fast forward, or a quantum leap in life, we live in the world that my father was trying to tell us about. I also remember the first time I ever saw a floppy disk. A floppy disk, I think a number of our young people today cannot even understand what a floppy disk is. It was a big black element that was quite floppy, as the word floppy, but it was inserted in the computer, and in it was data that was saved in there. I remember the first time I heard of a floppy disk and saw it. My elder brother had just returned. He was a first year in college at Zamim, and he had just returned home. He was studying data processing, and he came with a floppy disk. I mean, we looked at it with amazement. We just couldn't believe that in this black paper-looking like piece of material would hold information that people can read and learn about life. But again, fast forward, we live in a world that is the reality and beyond what I was exposed to as a young boy back then. Today, many years later, what was a mere talk has become the reality of our society. What was once upon a time a luxury has become a necessity. What was once feared by the church, I still remember back then when the language of computer, the very digital age that we are going to learn about today, began to find its place or make its way into the environment of the Christian faith in the church, it was considered as worldliness, as devilish, as the mark of the beasts, and all the other things that were said about it. But yet today, it has become the most necessary thing for the church's effectiveness in the world. Today it is the order of our day. Access to the World Wide Web through a cell phone, a tablet, a laptop, a TV, and many other gadgets that the world is able to make available through technology is just a wonder. I mean, think of it right now, the kind of communication around the world that is going on through this technology in this conference. Right now, with the very audience that is with me here physically, people are on cell phones and there is great communication going on with the rest of the world. And I'm not implying that they are just playing with the gadgets, but that's just the reality. Some of the songs that we were singing were not being followed from a hymn book in the hands, but were being followed from the digital gadgets applications that are on there, on them. And so because of this advancement in information technology, our world has changed greatly. Our world has somehow been turned upside down. What the life I used to experience when I was in primary school, the kind of activities and engagement with the society out there is not the same with the world today. The engagement today seems to be totally different. And it is all because of the information technology that the world we live in has got or has advanced in. And so the change has happened both for the good and the bad. And therefore, the question that begs this session is simply this. How should we manage primarily our homes in this digital era and become more effective or productive without compromising our integrity, our dignity, our moral values, and our very faith in God, our very Christian faith? How should we manage our homes in this digital era and become more productive without compromising our integrity, our dignity, our moral values, and our very faith in God? I'll invite you to turn your Bibles with me to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5, and we will read from verse 15 and 16. I would like to focus on these two verses. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. The ESV says, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. We must understand first and foremost before we appreciate what this passage will lead us to learn today. We must understand that there was a world in which the Apostle Paul lived and the world in which the church of the Ephesians was. And so Paul takes keen interest in communicating to the church to help them understand and appreciate the church of Jesus Christ. Primarily what God the Father was doing in heaven through Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit in the church for his own glory. He communicates that very well in the book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians spends quality time to show us in the first three chapters the doctrines of the Christian faith, and in the last three chapters the practical Christian living. How believers should take the very truth they've been learning and put it on their hands and feet and daily demonstrate their Christian faith. The passage we have read, which is chapter 5, is coming from the second section of the book of Ephesians, where there is practical Christian living. And so the scripture is reminding us of how we as believers should walk our Christian faith wisely and not fools, and making the best of the time in our time and era, because the days are evil. Understanding that the Apostle Paul was really emphasizing this to the church of the Ephesians and the era or the world they lived in, the principle and the teaching is the same with our time and era. that we also must walk circumspectly in this our time. That we also must not be fools but wise, but that we also must redeem the time, making the best use of our time. That we also must begin to realize that our days are evil. Therefore, we shouldn't be fools or foolish, as verse 17 says, but making effort to know what the will of the Lord is. So our text this morning draws our attention to three important things that need our learning, thus to appreciate the idea of the home and the digital era. There are these three things that our passage points to. Number one, the need to know our era. The need to know our times and season. And number two, the need to be careful and wise with our era. The need to be careful and wise with our time and season. And number three, the need to make the best use of our era for God's glory. The need to make the best use of our era for God's glory. Now, as I break down those three through the scriptures, let me make mention of one cultural dilemma that we are experiencing in the church here in Zambia. Somehow, there seems to appear in the church some generational divide that has been created by the digital era. The younger ones have become so pro-digital because that's what's defining them. And everybody, almost all young people in the church, are either on a cell phone, a tablet, or a laptop. Or if not, they are well knowledgeable of these things. Then there is a section of the church that would be called the BBCs, born before computers. And these are a community in the church who were born in the 1960s or before, who have no idea of what the trends of the day as far as the digital era is concerned. And majority, and not all of them, majority of them tend to somehow step back in fear or in defense of their old era by keeping away from this digital environment. They will have cell phones, but they will probably use only 5% of what a cell phone can do. They will have tablets or computers, but they will probably use them just merely for word processing and will not adventure to the length that the younger generation engages themselves in. And so this divide in the church is so evident. As a result, it has created a certain lack of fellowship between the two groups. Now, there are many other reasons why there's a divide from the cultural context, and that's not the purpose of what I'm doing this morning. However, the digital era has contributed greatly to this continuous divide. And the purpose for this seminar this morning is therefore to help us begin to view the digital era from a different perspective and, if possible, close that divide in the home and later on perhaps in the church. And I hope it will encourage especially those who may not be so pro-digital era or life to begin to think over and over again why we need to be, from a different perspective, why we need to be very considerate of the world we live in light of the scriptures that we have just read. Remember what the Apostle Paul says in Ephesians 5. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools but as wise, redeeming the time or redeeming the period in which God has put you. How can you make the best use of that time? Realizing that there is evil around the time that you are living in. So with those three things, let me begin by bringing to your attention, what is the digital era? When we use the phrase digital era, what do we mean? Well, there are many phrases that are used to identify the digital era. There will be things like the information era, the technological era. Today we have a new phrase, which is the experience era, and the digital era, the virtual era. It seems to point at the same window of life, the same epoch, the same period when the digital technology began stretching to the season that we are in today. A man by the name of Jill Shepherd has written a book which is titled Social and Economic Transformation in the Digital Era. Now, he's not a Christian, and I don't think he's anywhere near Christianity, but from an academic point of view, in trying to communicate elements pertaining to social economics that has happened to our world in regard to digital era, I found this statement quite intriguing from this book that he wrote in 2004. And on page 18, this is what he had to say. While there are many useful ways of describing and discussing the digital era, explanations of its existence are lacking. The digital era is characterized by technology which increases the speed and breadth of knowledge turnover within the economy and the society. The digital era can be seen as the development of an evolutionary system in which knowledge turnover is not only very high, but also increasingly out of control of humans, making it a time in which our lives become more difficult to manage. The social and economic implications of the digital era are huge and will increase as technological functionality becomes more knowledge-based. Our everyday lives and understanding of ourselves become more linked to it, and it's taking on a life of its own. I found this very interesting as this gentleman describes this digital era. And in this phrase he says, it's taking on a life of its own. Some dictionary indications and definition of the digital era. Listen to this. The digital age, also called the information age, is defined as the period starting in the 1970s with the introduction of the personal computer, with subsequent technology introduced, providing the ability to transfer information freely and quickly. The era we live in today, although computers began to penetrate the business world in the 1960s and 1970s, personal computers in the 1980s, combined with the internet in the 1990s, dramatically increased the presence of digital devices. In the 2010s, a revolution occurred with smartphones placing a full-fledged computer device into nearly everyone's pocket. It is in this very period, which we live in now, where the internet, the social media, the virtual experience, and all else is to be termed the digital age. Let me go on. The digital revolution has changed the rules, personal relations, business, communication, the way everyone uses their time. The impact of technology is always associated with achieving greater freedom, but it has also pushed us to levels of distraction and dependence that have changed how we engage the world. Scholars of information technology acknowledge that the digital revolution has so great a profound impact, and yet it is hard to measure it accurately. Therefore, if this is the world we live in, with so much technology, with so much transference of information at a very high turnover, some of the things I still remember when I was in primary school, I really loved going to our community library in Kafue. I still remember going to the section where was books of science. One of the things that troubled me as young as a grade 5, grade 6, was the mockery and the bullying I received because I'm left-handed. So they mocked me as a left-hand. In fact, as a young boy, they called me Echkamale, meaning a left-handed person. That's in my language or in our common language in the streets. They would refer me to that. It used to offend me for a long time. When I got to grade 6, I wanted to know why I was born left-handed. It took me a lot of time. I still remember walking to a library in Kafue. And when I got to this bookshelf where there were science books of science, I finally, by God's providence, pulled a book that had my answers. I flipped it open and I began to check the content and found a chapter which talked about why people are born left hand and right hand. I was only in grade 6. I sat down to read that book and I read it for almost half the morning because it was answering my question. I rejoiced after reading it because I found a lot of good by being left handed. I went home rejoicing, and every time people mocked me about being left-handed, I was explaining to them the advantages and the beauty of being a left-handed person. Some would admire, some thought I just made it up, but I had read it in this book. The point I'm driving at is, it took me over a month or a year or two to just go find that book, read it, and know why I was born left-handed. Today, if I was to engage in the same research, it would only take me less than 1 minute. I would just type the question on my cell phone and www.whatever would pop up and would give me the answer instantly. And I would read it in less than 5 minutes or so and I would have known exactly why I was born left-handed. The point I'm driving at is, in this digital era, the speed, the length and breadth and the turnover of information is unbelievable. You can figure out anything and everywhere. The other day, I found my 10-year-old in the kitchen cooking something delicious. And when I walked in the kitchen was smelling very nice, and I was really surprised. So I called my daughter, Carissa. She was in the kitchen and cooking. I said, "Carissa, whatever you're cooking smells so nice. How did you figure out? You seem to be turning into a good cook." And she said, "No, Daddy, I got the recipe from the internet. It's on my phone." And so she popped her phone, and I began looking at whatever she was seeing, reading, and putting it in practice, and there she was cooking. The same recipe which would have taken somebody a long time to go to a particular college, go and learn about it, and then try to put it in the home and feed on those food, took my daughter hardly 1 minute or two to see it and take it to the kitchen and begin to put it on the table, and she had a wonderful meal. Unfortunately, she didn't share with me. So we'll work out the next recipe. But going further, if that is the world we are living in, and this is what is happening, the Apostle Paul reminds us, look carefully then how you walk. Look carefully then how you walk. Because you see, there are pros and cons with the digital world, and we need to be aware of that. While there are so many advantages that our world we live in is enjoying, there are also many other disadvantages. A lot of negative impact on individuals, on homes, on the society, and the world at large. It is not the intention, by the way, of this session. It's not my intention that I should just paint the digital era with a lot of negatives and leave you scared. That's been a lot of tendencies at times in relation to technological development in our world. We are quick to paint the disadvantage more than the advantage, which is okay depending on the nature of the teaching that it is being done in. But that's not what I'm trying to do here. I'm not trying to say, here is the evil before you. The demon or the devil has come with the number 666. He's called the digital world. Run away from him. That's not the intention of this seminar. Rather, the intention is to help you, an individual and as a home, how can we take advantage of our world, become more productive to the glory of God, and become effective with the raising up of children, with the communication of the gospel, with the relationship around and functionality in our world. I think that's a direction I would rather take as I go along with you. But nonetheless, it is important for me to bring to your attention some of the negatives. Because here in verse 16, the Apostle Paul says, in verse 15, he says, look carefully then how you walk. Look carefully then how you walk. The idea of look carefully then how you walk has two sides to it. The one side is to avoid where it is not supposed to be stepped. And the other side, it is to engage with so much eagerness to step where it is rightfully so. So if somebody is in the dark room and you tell him, there are nails on the floor, be careful with how you walk. That person will begin to either tiptoe or slide their foot back and forth without raising it up so that they may find where it is most appropriate to step as they walk and avoid those things that would prick the foot. That is the idea here when Paul says, look carefully then how you walk. And for that reason, we need to understand, therefore, that in the digital era, there are pros and cons. There are negatives and positives. There are good things and there are bad things. If we are to make it through the good things, we must be aware of the bad things. One site that I visited just in preparation of this seminar gave me a list of about 17 things that are associated with the cons of the digital era. Let me just mention those quickly and then also share some few others in a little bit of a detail. This site said things like, the digital era has got a lot of problems such as data security or data insecurity. Information flooded on the internet can be accessed by anybody, anywhere, anyhow, and easily crack all the password and security features that you can put there, and information will just seep out just like that. We have heard in our time how a lot of information, very, very important and very confidential information, has found itself in the hands of the public due to the loose ends of the digital technology. Things like crime and terrorism has happened and has been made possible because of the weakness of the digital era. The complexities that digital era has brought, the divide that it has created in generation, the concerns for privacy, how that a number of things that were once upon a time a private matter has become all of a sudden a public vendetta. Some social disconnection that has happened due to digital era, drawn people into an environment of isolation, and they are no longer participating at societal norms. As a result, there is quite a disconnect socially. Work overload. I mean, it is crazy, if I may say that, how much work has fallen in the hands of employees and employers. People go to work on their laptops, knock off, they are still in their cars, they are on Zoom meetings while they are driving, they get home, they are on particular forums while they are eating, they spend extra hours into the night still working, they deny themselves family time, there is conflict of interest between the home life and the work life. People are failing to draw the line. There is now this entanglement between the two worlds in their lives. And so that in itself is definitely a negative with our digital era. About job insecurity in school, at our college, this is one of the songs that we sing at African Christian University. Plagiarism and copyright issues. Today you can go on the net, type in any topic. Most probably you will find enough information to collectively put together and somehow flash out a paper or a document or a work out there. And that is the evil of plagiarism, where we may not even quote sources. The list is endless. There is a high level of addiction. In the recent past, I enjoyed a discussion on Facebook on my page. I deliberately posted a question, and my question was simply, what is worse? Addiction, what is worse between being on social platforms versus alcohol? And it was very interesting to hear people throw in their thoughts in relation to addiction and the effects of the two. There's a high level of addiction going on in the digital era, primarily with the social media life. The list is endless, and I can go on and on. But I want to mention one thing that is very critical, that we hardly think about. Some years back, it was more associated with the TV, but worse than the TV, it is now associated with the cell phone, the computer, the tablet, and all other smart gadgets around us. And that is passiveness versus activeness. Passiveness versus activeness. There was a time in our world that this digital era had not reached the height at which it is today. And back in the day, people were very active, both physically and mentally. They would engage in creativity, in initiative, in thoughtfulness, in engagement of the environment and the material world that is around them. Today, that is not the same picture. I remember when I was young, I would wake up, especially when I was still in primary, I would wake up with two items in my mind. Number one, to make sure I go to the kitchen and have my breakfast. Number two, which my father and mother would wrestle against me, was to jump out of the house, open the door, check where the guys are, and go and do some play. So we would pick a football and we'll go to play football and almost spend the whole day playing football. As we grew up, definitely our kind of activities changed, but we were still very active. Still in my primary school days, especially junior primary, we would make little camps outside with our friends. Would make sure that we keep some of our breakfast and our lunch, because we have to bring it to the camp and eat it together and have some camp life with our friends at the backyards of our parents. At times we'd cross over the road and go play in the bush, swim in little lakes or swamps, come back home looking white like a sweet potato, and close your day being lashed to bed and begin all over again the following day. Except for grace, the Lord put us in order. However, the point that I'm driving at is this. There was a time before the digital era came to this height that children in the home were not only active, but proactive. There was creativity. There was initiative. When I moved from my parents' house to live with my grandparents, one of the first things my grandfather did every morning, he would wake us up as early as 06, and he would ask us to go outside and water the garden, to go and pull out the weeds. It was quite strenuous, but later on we appreciated, because it made something good in us. Today, because of the digital era, that disengagement with life, that disengagement with people, with the environment, with the material world, has brought in a certain level of passiveness among people. What do I mean? Let me use the illustration of a TV. When you are watching a TV, you are mostly passive. When you are reading a book, you are mostly active. That is mentally. And the simple reason is this. A TV, they have thought through everything for you. And all you do is just watch and swallow everything. Reading a book for yourself, you are going to think through what is written there. You are going to create your own images. You are going to feel the storyline without anybody picturing it for you. Your mind is actively engaging the book and thinking it through and creating the story. Here is one of the things you can check for yourself. Read a book. There are certain books which have been made into a movie. Before you watch the movie, read the book. You'll be amazed how the story plays in your mind and how different the story plays in your mind compared to the story when you're watching it. A good classic example I'd give is when I first read The Pilgrim's Progress. I enjoyed the book. I read it again, second and third or more time. And then later on, some 10 years ago or so, I heard there was The Pilgrim's Progress in this era that has been produced. I went to watch that movie. It was totally different. The picture of Pilgrim's Progress, the book in my mind, and how the story played as I read it for myself, was totally different from how another person saw it and pictured it in a movie. I was so active in reading it for myself. Whoever watched it without reading the book found it totally different. And a good example is my own daughters, my two first daughters. I really was excited that they should watch the movie, which was not a good thing because they had not yet read the book for themselves. So we sat down and we watched the movie. By then they were a little bit young. This modern movie of Pilgrim's Progress was so scary that my middle daughter said she wouldn't want to watch it again. She lost interest in the movie called Pilgrim's Progress. When I later on brought out the book and said, read the book, the girls refused. They said, no, that's not a good story. It's so scary. Because of how somebody had, in this digital era, tried to paint the picture in the minds of the audience. As a result, those who watch the movie are more passive because they let the movie think for them. But those who read the book are more active because they think through the book for themselves. Now, that was a long illustration, but it drives the point that I'm trying to bring home. Move away from the TV, come to the computer, come to the cell phone, come to the tablet and all other things. A good number of the applications, not all of them, please don't get me wrong, not all of them, but a good number of the applications on these gadgets do not give us the opportunity to think for ourselves. They've laid down a template that we follow through. Even when we come, for example, to art and designs, designing a poster, designing a home, designing something, majority of the time you can click on any one of these apps and boom, it will bring you a design already set forth called a template. All you need to do is change a few things and think a little and you would, without, in no time, produce something that appears to be wonderful to people's eyes. The truth is, you were not actively engaged to a level that you would produce something of your own origination. Somebody has thought it through for you. Somebody has put it on an app and somebody has left it there. Now, our world, like the earlier statement I told you, which said this technological world, the digital era, is taking a life of its own. You can say, well, Pastor, come on, don't make this an issue. After all, that's our world. Look at what's happening. I mean, let these templates do the job for us. Let it all go, just flow. That's the world. That's the life we're in. That's true, and I agree with you. But there is something that is happening to you that you're not aware. You have increased the level of your passiveness in comparison to your activeness. You have stolen, certain things have been stolen from you. Things like initiative, creativity, origination, and conceptualization. All that has been robbed from you by this digital era. Well, that sounds very scary. But as I said, it's not the intention to scare you. It's simply to bring the reality that we're living in. This is what the digital world has done to us. But apart from all these negatives, I'm going to be a little bit sensitive with time. I would have brought to your attention a little more things in terms of the physical side of the digital era that we are in. For example, the physical health effects, the eye strain. It is assumed that not so long from now, the rate at which we will be suffering from eye problem is going to be extremely higher than what our old parents may have experienced. One of our Republican president, by the name of former Republican president, by the name of Rupia Banda, has always amazed me in terms of his eyes. I have watched that man during the time when he was a president of the country of Zambia, and even in this period, he doesn't read with spectacles. He's an elderly man, but he engages documents without wearing spectacles. We will see less of that in the near future because of the digital world. We are told of the Blu-rays and the emission of the light that comes from these gadgets and how it is affecting our eyes. Those are some of the physical problems. They are what are known as poor posture problems that are arising slowly from what would be termed the musculoskeletal issues. Because of our ever bending in this posture, reading the cell phone and reading the computer, and this posture on which is invited upon us due to mobile devices and computers is slowly going to affect our muscles on the shoulders, on the back, and on the neck, and all other issues. But the list goes on. We cannot afford not to mention the sleep problem. The sleep problem. People are sleeping short hours. And not only short hours, but they're not sleeping in a relaxed way. At times we blame the bed, we blame the pillow, we blame the beddings, but the truth is that gadgets that we have heavily contributed to our sleeping experience. For example, we are told that a person who always lets go off their gadget and go to bed in about 10 to 15 minutes difference will have poor sleep, compared to somebody who stops using their gadget 2 hours before they sleep. So, if your sleeping time is 20 hours, you learn and teach yourself to put your gadget off your hands at 18 hours and have 2 hours of winding down. You will enjoy your sleep. You will wake up very sharp and very active. Whereas compared to somebody who's going to sleep at 20 hours and they let go of their gadget 10 minutes to 20, they put it aside and that's when they are sleeping. Some people even fight their eyes. The body is saying, please allow me to rest. But we still want to be on the gadget. And they have a poor sleep experience. Evaluate yourself and see how that little activity would help you if you can create that gap for yourself. But that said, let me hurry on and talk about other things which pertain to advantage. Or rather, before I do that, let me mention one more thing in terms of children. Children's brain, this is interesting, children's brain are still developing. And they may be more sensitive to the effects of technology and its overuse than adult brains. I have been to environments, even in the church and in some homes, when a child cries, this is a child below 18 months, they quickly pass on the phone for the child to be entertained on the phone. And they are now engaged in it and they stop crying. I have also seen other children who are not even able to eat, sit and eat. They will have a phone on their hands and playing a game while the parent is trying to feed the child. Listen to this research and review that was carried out in 2018. A 2018 review of various studies noted the possible adverse effects of children using different technologies. Children who overuse technology may be more likely to experience issues including such as low academic performance, lack of attention, low creativity, delays in language development, delays in social and emotional development, physical inactivity and obesity, poor sleeping quality, social issues such as social incapabilities and anxiety, aggressive behavior, and addiction to these technologies. And so we want to be very careful that the digital era, with all the advantages it may bring, there are these cons that I thought I should bring to your attention. That said, well, let's now revert to the idea of how may I best use my time in this digital era. Remember what verse 16 says. The Apostle Paul says, make the best use of the time. Make the best use of the time. He's basically saying, look, the era and the age that you live in has vices. The digital era has pros and cons, disadvantages and advantages, negative and positives. But that's the world you live in. The Lord Jesus Christ said, we are in the world, but we are not of the world. With that in mind, Paul is saying, make the best use of your time. So how may I make the best use of my time in this digital era? Here are four quick things that are very helpful. Number one, within the home, that is, the digital era provides an opportunity for increased communication within the family. It provides an increased level of communication within the family. And so if it provides that, it is only wise for you to take advantage of that and use it to the best of your ability. So one of the things that you do in a family setting is, which has become so common today, I have noticed a lot of people have what they would call family forums. Within the home, father, mother, children, or within the extended family, brother, sister, uncle, auntie, and all that. It has all of a sudden become an environment in which communication of information has a very high turnover in the family. I would encourage you to take advantage of that. Years back, we would have one house with a phone, probably the whole street, a land phone. And everybody knew that number. If one of the parents at work wanted to communicate to their home, the family at home, they would call that number, and the people in that house would be told, please go and call my wife, or go and call my daughter or my son. Let them come over, I have something to tell them. Okay, I'll call back in about 5 minutes or so. They send a person, runs over to that place, go and call, they come and sit, and they begin to wait for the telephone to ring. And eventually, they phone, it rings, they pick it, hello, yes, and they explain to them, thank you very much. Something that would have been done within seconds, years back, was done within hours. Take advantage of that. Create family forums to which you can communicate. Secondly, when it comes to ministry opportunities, beyond our only home, the Lord has enabled this era to come upon us that we may engage a very high level of communicating the gospel to our family members. Can you imagine there were times when we could not sit with our siblings because, as the Bible says, a prophet is not honored in his own land. We are believers, our siblings are not believers, and they just don't like to hear us talk about the Bible, talk about Jesus. They would not even give us an audience to share the gospel with them. Guess what? With this digital era that's long gone, if you want to witness to your brother who lives in another country, you want to witness to your sister, just go on the phone, hold the record button, and begin to talk about Jesus Christ, and tell them you want to tell them about Christ, and go on talking and record a 2 to 5 minutes gospel message, and let go of your finger from your gadget, and instantly the communication goes to them. They want it or not, most of the time they would want to listen to what the sibling is saying. The same opportunity that the opportunity that you would have not had had they been with you, you would have not said to them, "Can I say something to you about Jesus?" They would say, "Ah, come on, give me a break, you and your Jesus business." But the same message through your gadget, wherever they are, they would say, "Let me hear what my sister wants to say. Let me hear what my brother." Okay, all right. And they'll play the audio, and they'll listen to you, and they'll listen to the gospel. And you'll be amazed one day that there will be a testimony of salvation in somebody because you took that as a great opportunity to minister to your family members. Not only your family members, but even the larger community around you. Even towards people that you would hardly have a conversation with them. As long as you have their phone number, you have their WhatsApp number, you have their Facebook messenger communication, you are able to engage them across the world. So my point is, as the Bible is saying, take advantage, make the very best use of your time. Well, if you lock up yourself in the idea that you are a BBC, born before computer, and you disengage yourself and distance yourself from all this technology, I don't blame you, neither do I want to argue with you, but I want to suggest to you that there is a great opportunity that you have denied yourself. There are so many things that you can do to communicate and minister to the community around you, your friends, your relative, people who are across the world, in Australia, in America, in Russia. Wherever they are, you have this gigantic of an opportunity before you because of this digital era that the Lord has allowed to come in our world, that you can take advantage and make Christ known to them. But if you cut yourself and say, "Well, this is not my world, I will not have distanced myself from it," I'm not blaming you, neither am I arguing with you. I'm simply saying you've denied yourself an opportunity that would have been extraordinarily used by you. The third thing that is important also that will help us is education. Education. The education of the family. Now, I'm not talking about institutional education, secondary school, primary, tertiary, or college and university. We've just had that experience with the coming in of COVID. Before COVID, it was unthinkable that we would be engaging primary school going children with virtual education. Come COVID, all of a sudden, schools have realized the power and the benefit of engaging in this virtual world. But while the world is doing that, a certain sect of the Christian world was already there, which is so admirable. Those who learn to do homeschool. Those who are engaging their children through the computer platform were already enjoying that, and it seems they were not so much affected by COVID in the way those of us who took our children to conventional schools were affected. But aside that, I'm talking about family education within the context of the home. It is a great opportunity that you can take advantage as a parent, as a guardian, as a member of the family, and begin to educate yourselves as a household. Now, today, much of the digital platform seems to suggest a lot of social media and entertainment. Think about using the same things but for education. For example, you can go to particular sites and read about mannerism, conduct. You can easily take certain captions and put them together just for the family, not for the society around there, just for my daughter. You may have a 16-year-old child. You may have an 18-year-old. Those are the ages of my daughters. You may have a 10-year-old child. And there are certain things you would want to constantly be communicating. If they have these gadgets and they are on some of these platforms, it is a great opportunity for you to gather information for them and throw it to them as often as you can, because they will have it in their hands all the time. They want to hear what daddy has to say. They want to hear what mommy has to say. They want to read. They want to hear your voice. And what a great opportunity you will have to educate your own family in moral values, in issues of integrity and dignity, and a various number of things. The last thing is business opportunities. I will not venture in this because this is not my area of strength. Nonetheless, there are great opportunities that are going on. Recently, I received a message from the community that I live in Nyumbayanga. That's the name of the community. And there is what is being called Nyumbayanga Makwebo platform. It is a place that when people are selling things in their house or they're trying to get rid of a few things, they post on this group and everybody sees it, and before long that item is bought or that item has been communicated to whoever would be the next owner. There are such business opportunities. Within the church family, there are such business opportunities. May I take it within the home? Within the family and the extended family, if I have something I want to get rid of or want to pass it on to somebody, perhaps before I can make it known to the world, I can make it known to my extended family and I can make it known to the church family. And these are opportunities that once upon a time were never thought of. They were never even a dream, but they are a reality in our time. And so I would encourage you to make the best use of your digital era in light of these four things that I've mentioned. Family forums, ministry opportunity, education of the family, and family business. One more, and I should be done. What are some of the protective measures, therefore, that parents must put in place, or I should put in place? Look at the second part of our scripture, verse 16. It says, because the days are evil. Because the days are evil. The implication there is twofold. Number one is that, as the Bible says, the god of this world, the devil, ensures that evil prevails. That's his campaign and his agenda. But at the same time, secondly, it simply also means that the times and seasons we live in have so much negative that they will try to choke the good that God is doing or would have us be engaged in. And so because of that evil that we have around us, the digital world is not in any way left aside. It has come with good, but it has come with evil. I mean, think about how you can access literally everything on your computer, on your phone. You can type a site. You can even guess a site. Somehow, just think of a word and say .com or .org. All of a sudden, it exists somewhere. And somebody has been putting stuff there. And some of those begin to make their way into our gadgets, through the cookies, as they are called. Cookies simply being some of the things that leave a trail in our gadgets or in our platforms, so that next time when a word associated with something that we once checked back then is clicked, it will quickly pull the related sites from before and easily bring the information around you or anything else that is related. And so you find at times obscene images appear, websites that you would not dream to go to, the computer or the information, because of its high level of turnover of information, they begin to pop and suggest to you that try to go to such sites. So what are some of the protective measures, therefore, that we must be always engaged in if we are to use the best of our time in this digital era, and primarily with all the gadgets around us? Number one, monitor screen time. Monitor your screen time. How long should I be on the gadget? How long should Junior, my son, and Susie, my daughter, be on the gadget? At times, you find that we do not even think about it. We just have made this our world, and somehow we live through it excessively, and things at times begin to pop up on our gadget. We follow them, we read information, and things that have nothing to do with the life that we would like to live, and they even end up causing us to live a lifestyle that is sad story. So, it is only important, therefore, that I monitor how long I spend my time. There is just a need to be sensitive and be aware of yourself with what you want and where you want to go and what you want to achieve with these digital gadgets. And one of the things is stick to a time that is productive. Stick to a time that is productive. You know, you can get your phone and say, oh, I want to check messages. You go and check messages. You go and check Messenger. You go and check WhatsApp. You go and check Facebook. And after you've checked all of them, there's nothing that is very productive in the heat of the moment. Then all of a sudden, maybe somebody has sent another thing. Again, you start all over. You check Facebook. And everybody and check what. You laugh at two or three. And bam, 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 bam. You get to the end. Well, nothing. Oh, maybe status. And you come again and you start checking and you start checking. Before long, don't be surprised that you yourself begin to post things that are irrelevant, commenting on issues that are unnecessary, going to sites that you should have not gone to or you should never ever go to. And it's all because you are not taking time to monitor your screen time and therefore engage yourself to a productive time. I know of a missionary friend here in Lusaka who, when you call him before 9 hours, his phone is off. He tells me that his phone only works 9 to 9, meaning he switches off his phone at 21 hours and switches it on at 9 hours. And he says that allows me to wind down in the night before I sleep, and it allows me to wake up, have my wonderful time of family, bath, prepare myself, have breakfast, and only at 9 hours do I switch on my phone. No matter how urgent your problem is, you won't get him at 9 hours. And by the way, don't dare call his wife, because the wife also has such a monitoring over time. It'll be a good idea for you to probably set up your phone to 8 to 8, or 10 to 10, or whatever it is, but ensuring that you block out a time that is necessary for you to be engaged in the digital world. That in itself will give you greater opportunity to remain active with the life around. Go water the gardens, go pick some flowers, sweep around the house, without worrying what WhatsApp is saying and Facebook and Messenger, without you trying to say, maybe they've followed up with that, or maybe, no. Block yourself in your own time. Secondly, monitor your content. And if you're a parent, monitor the content of your children. Take time to check their gadgets. Because our daughters are girls, my wife does more of checking their gadgets more than I do. Now, let me mention one thing before it slips off. When the whole digital world was really at its peak and everybody's getting a phone, my daughters equally wanted to get a phone, we had put a rule that none of them should get a phone until they are teenagers. So the first one, until she clocked 14, when she was going to 15, that's when we got her a cell phone. The second one as well, until she was getting to the age of 15, that's when we got her a cell phone. The third one got her cell phone at the age of 10. Now, my second daughter, who's very critical with issues, came over and says, "Daddy, we need to have a meeting." I said, "Okay, fine, that sounds good." So we sat down and she said, "Daddy, my elder sister had her phone when she was 14 going 15. I had mine when I was 14 going 15. But this little one, you've allowed her to have a phone when she's 10. Why? I think you need to grab her phone and wait for 4 more years. That's when she can have it." And the young sister was looking at us and she was worried because she had already got into using the phone. So I started explaining to her why it was so. And I said, "Look, when COVID happened, you all went virtual. We only have one computer or one laptop in the home. You all needed to do school at the same time. And majority of the time, I'm at the office, there's no laptop in the home. So, connectivity and everything, you all needed to have a gadget to do school. And one of the ways that our youngest also could do school was to get her a phone. Because we couldn't get her a laptop, we couldn't get her a gadget like the other two had. And so we ended up buying her a phone so that she could be doing school. And somehow it changed from just being a gadget for school, became a gadget for communication with the rest of us in the house. We have a home forum. My wife created it. And so all the girls are there just for us five as a home. So we chat as a family occasionally. If I'm out of town, I send something there. My wife is at work. She tells the girls what to do and all that is going on within ourselves. And the little one was definitely missing out. It became an opportunity for her to be on that platform. Furthermore, at their school, they had, because of the virtual education that was going on, they had created all sorts of WhatsApp groups for every subject. This teacher and the class maths, this teacher and the class English, this teacher and the class social studies and all, because they were busy sending them homework, school, attendance was being checked on some of those platforms. And she was missing out. So I explained that to the sister and she embraced the whole idea eventually. But before that, I said, "Okay, fine, we'll get the phone from her, but she will be sharing your phone." "Daddy, I think you want us to grab the phone, but you don't want to share the phone." Okay. So, my wife does a good job in monitoring their content, and she deliberately does that once in a given period. She will just call by name abruptly and say, "Can I have a look at your phone?" And they'll make the phone available and she'll go through it. Not that she is policing, but it is helpful for our children to be aware that I shouldn't stray, because sooner than later, there is mommy watching, there is daddy watching. So that helps a lot. Going quickly, deliberately discuss virtual life with your children. Deliberately discuss virtual life with your children. A lot of parents don't do that. You don't know the music they listen to. You don't know the movies they watch. You don't know the educational applications they have. You don't know the games they have. All you say, "Yeah, these young people with the things they watch and do with their phones." It's not healthy. You are opening up for a lot of things. Discuss with your children. There are certain songs my daughters will be listening to. It won't even make sense to me. It seems to make sense to their world, but it doesn't make sense to me. But I deliberately sit down and say, "Okay, let's play your song." And we'll listen to the song. And they're trying to make me understand why they should listen to that song and how beautiful it is. And then I go slowly and say, "You know what, honey? This song is not making sense. Have you heard what the lyrics are saying? Have you thought through that it is affecting this area of life? It is wrongly saying about these things and seemingly making the wrong look the right. And all of a sudden, you know what? I didn't think through like that. And eventually you find that song is no longer being listened to. The movies, watch the movies with them. If they say, no, they love such a storyline, sit down, watch with them. Have interest in their digital world, in their movies, in their applications. If they like playing video games on the phone or on the TV, play with them. And you will understand some of the games that they engage themselves in. And some are horrible and terrible. If they see you have interest, and then later on you say don't, they will agree with you. But if you have no interest, but then you say don't, they will question you. So, discuss deliberately the virtual life with your children. Again, this is not my specialty, but it's a good thing to mention. Install cybersecurity systems on your home routers and on your gadgets. These are very much available. If you use a router in the home, just go to your provider, ask them, and they will show you and help you how you can block out very sensitive sites or materials so that they may not appear on anybody's gadget as long as they are using your router in the home. That would be a great protection. Even on the gadgets themselves, I've not yet adventured in one, but I have been told that it is possible for me to set up a security system using my phone versus my daughter's phone, such that if they go to certain sites on their phone or computer, there will be an alert on my phone or my computer. I'm yet to venture out in that and see how it works as well. But that is another protection that you can provide. Why? Because the days are evil. And lastly on this protection, parents. Parents must cultivate a great interest in knowing, learning, and understanding the digital era. Have interests in knowing, learning, and understanding the digital era if you are to better help the next generation. If you don't be surprised that they will have things happening under their bedrooms, in their wherever they are, that you have no idea of. Have interest. Learn the digital world. Don't just sit back and call yourself a BBC. Don't just theologize your life and say that makes you more spiritual if you do away with the digital world and life. It will, but remember you have a responsibility as a parent. You have a responsibility as an individual in relation to the next generation. And if you are going to have an impact on their lives, you must have interest in the world they are living in, which obviously you are also living in, and see how you can learn their world and then communicate that world in a better light to them. It is only that way that you would help them disengage from the wrong and really engage themselves on the right. If we are going to break this, which I mentioned earlier on, the generational divide as a result of the eras we are in, if we are going to really close that up, one of the things that parents we should be doing is have interest in this digital era. Have interest in knowing what it is. Learn, read about it, surface the website, engage yourself and have a good knowledge of it. Such that when you are working around with your daughter or son on their phone and on their gadgets, you really can play around and direct them in the right path. In conclusion, parents and individuals, if we are going to be better, we're going to better lead our homes, better disciple the young out there and in the church, and leave a profound impact on the next generation. Among the many good things you are doing, ensure you understand the times we are living in and redeem it. Ensure you understand the times we are living in and redeem it. It is not a wise thing to cast a blind eye to the trends of our time, particularly the digital era, and say, look, this is not my world. It is not wise to just sit back and call yourself a BBC born before computer. it is wiser to say, this is the world I live in. Jesus said, you are in the world, but not of the world. Paul says, be careful with the very world you are living in. Take interest to know it. I mean, think of a man who goes in the forest and says, I don't care. The forest is not an area of my interest, but I'll just walk through the forest. You can be rest assured they will soon be hurt. But a man or a woman who takes interest to understand the forest while they are walking through it or before they walk through it, they will surely guard their lives. Same applies with the era we are in. Have interests. Don't be surprised that there is a generational divide in the church because of your disinterest in this era. Don't be surprised that the next generation will look far different from who you are today and wonder what happened to them. You will blame the devil, you will blame the educational system, you will blame the world out there and everything else. And forget the fact that if only you had interest in their world and participated in their era, you would have prevented them going a direction perhaps that they have ended up going. With that said, may I end by again drawing your attention to the passage we have looked at. The Bible reads, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. And with that in mind, our time and our era is this digital world. Our carefulness and our wisdom with our era lies in understanding the era we are in and choosing to do that which is right in relation to the truth of God. And lastly, the need to make the best of our time for the glory of God. As we are in this era, always be thinking, not just to discredit it and run away from it, but to say, how can I turn all this that is going on and use it for God's glory? Amen.